The golden escalator descent at Trump Tower in 2015 marked more than a campaign launch. It signaled the beginning of a political earthquake. What followed was nothing short of American carnage, as a real estate mogul and reality TV star captured a Republican Party that had lost its way. Drawing from over 300 interviews with key political figures, Tim Alberta's Chronicle reveals how American politics transformed into a blood sport where winning at all costs replaced governing principles. This wasn't just a change in leadership, it was a fundamental reshaping of conservative identity that Barack Obama called the most illuminating explanation of the Trump era, while conservative commentator Hugh Hewitt acknowledged it as the definitive account of our political moment. The 2008 financial crisis forced President Bush into an impossible choice: abandon free market principles or risk economic collapse. When Federal Reserve Chairman Bernanke warned of another Great Depression, this one worldwide, Bush's response was decisive: "I'm sure as hell not gonna be that guy." Yet when Treasury Secretary Paulson's $700 billion TARP proposal reached Congress, conservative Republicans revolted, initially defeating the measure despite markets plummeting in response. This rebellion wasn't just about fiscal policy. It represented years of conservative frustration with their own party's leadership. The episode deepened institutional mistrust and class divisions, with Congressman Jim Jordan noting, "That was when the populist sentiment started to take root, laying the groundwork for what happened in 2016. While the Tea Party movement claimed to focus on fiscal responsibility, surveys revealed cultural anxieties were paramount for its supporters. Without central organization, the movement became a Wild West ecosystem where supremacy belonged to whoever pushed furthest right. As Senator Jim DeMint's philosophy took hold, that 30 true conservatives were preferable to 60 moderates, practical governance became secondary to ideological purity. By 2011, the debt ceiling crisis exposed deep fractures within Republican ranks. Speaker Boehner demanded spending cuts equal to any debt limit increase, while conservatives pushed for the more extreme cut, cap, and balance plan. What history doesn't widely know is that Obama and Boehner had secretly crafted a grand bargain with Medicare reforms and $800 billion in new revenue. "I was one happy son of a bitch," Boehner recalls of their handshake agreement. But when Obama sought to renegotiate after the Gang of Six senators unveiled a competing proposal, Boehner exploded. "Are you shitting me? We shook hands." Meanwhile, the professional right, conservative advocacy groups funded by major donors, began wielding extraordinary influence through scorecards and fundraising appeals. As Paul Ryan explains, what ended up happening was the conservative industrial complex sort of stood itself up. "I don't have to work my way up the committee process. I can just go on Fox News and Rush Limbaugh and be a hero." This dynamic fundamentally changed incentives for Republican lawmakers, making compromise increasingly impossible. Romney's 2012 defeat forced Republicans to confront structural challenges. Despite securing 59% of white voters, Romney lost decisively as Obama built an overwhelming coalition of minority voters, 93% of black voters, 71% of Hispanics, and 73% of Asians. The infamous 47% comment cemented Romney's image as disconnected from ordinary Americans. The response was swift. Conservative media figures like Sean Hannity performed dramatic reversals on immigration reform. The Republican National Committee launched an unprecedented self-examination dubbed the autopsy, recommending immigration reform, minority outreach, and softened rhetoric on social issues. Yet these reform efforts faced a fundamental obstacle. With 85% of House seats effectively safe due to partisan redistricting, most Republican representatives feared primary challenges from the right more than general election defeats. Meanwhile, the Heritage Foundation transformed from intellectual powerhouse to aggressive advocacy organization under Jim DeMint's leadership, targeting fellow Republicans for fundraising purposes just when unity was most needed for reform. While establishment Republicans like Jeb Bush position themselves as traditional heirs, speaking Spanish to emphasize inclusivity, Trump descended his golden escalator with contradictory rhetoric. He declared Mexico was sending rapists and criminals, promised to build a great, great wall, and dismissed the RNC's inclusivity autopsy as a big waste of money. Trump intensified cultural warfare by calling for tracking Muslims and killing terrorists' family members, even appearing on Alex Jones' InfoWars and praising the conspiracy theorist's amazing reputation. Remarkably, these controversial statements boosted rather than damaged his polling numbers. Though often described as lacking core ideology, Trump consistently believed globalization harmed American society. His Make America Great Again campaign effectively combined personal, cultural, and socioeconomic grievances, appealing to voters feeling marginalized in a changing America. His genius lay in reducing complex debates to their simplest form by weaponizing complaints about political correctness. By early 2016, Trump's momentum appeared unstoppable. The influential Coach Network declined to fund anti-Trump advertising despite pleas from their political director. The RNC secretly explored strategies to block Trump's nomination, but these efforts proved futile against his growing populist appeal. Strategic endorsements provided crucial mainstream legitimacy. Chris Christie's surprise backing offered Trump his first major establishment support. Senator Jeff Sessions' endorsement proved even more significant, lending credibility to Trump's anti-immigration stance and declaring, "This isn't a campaign, this is a movement." The Cruz campaign's proposal for a Cruz-Rubio unity ticket represented perhaps the last realistic chance to stop Trump. Their internal polling showed such an alliance could potentially win over 60% of voters in remaining primaries. Senator Mike Lee's attempt to broker this alliance at a secret Miami meeting marked a critical turning point, but Rubio's last-minute cancellation effectively ended any chance of a united opposition front. When Trump leaves office, Republicans face a profound reckoning, having transformed into a protectionist, big-spending party supported by rural working-class whites rather than affluent suburbanites. Karl Rove sees this as temporary. Republicans are free traders, and this experiment with protectionism is going to end very badly. Kellyanne Conway disagrees. It will be a Trumpian party, with his America First philosophy permanently reshaping conservative ideology. The nation faces unprecedented polarization beyond normal political disagreement. Senator Marco Rubio describes Americans as complete and total strangers despite physical proximity, consuming different news sources and lacking shared cultural touchstones. Former Speaker John Boehner suggests it might take something cataclysmic for Americans to rediscover their shared national identity. Paul Ryan identifies multiple forces driving this division. Disruptive populism feeding off identity politics, combined with technological acceleration and moral relativism that have blown up norms. He notes the old meritocracy is dead, replaced by a system rewarding entertainment value over policy expertise. In this paradigm, Trump didn't change the rules, he mastered them, beating everyone else at the same game. Whether this represents a temporary deviation from Republican orthodoxy or a permanent realignment of American political coalitions remains the central question facing our democracy, one whose answer will shape our nation's fundamental character for generations.